famous Rashi's famous ideas in Parshas Va'era. Be'ezras Hashem. Okay. So this Parsha is famous. It has the four Lishonos of Geula in Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav. Bo'tzeisi v'itzalti v'go'alti v'lokachti. So the Rashbam at the beginning of the 10th Perek quotes these sukim, quotes the Chazal who quote these words as one of the sources for the four cups. Now v'lokachti, v'lokachti eschem li'la'am, the Ramban here says this refers to Matan Torah on Har Sinai. So I heard once from Rav Daniel Lander Shlita a very simple and beautiful vort, that the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. So when you're at the Seder discussing Yitzias Mitzrayim, so you should mention and talk about that the goal is Matan Torah, the goal is Har Sinai. So according to the Ramban, you have a very nice idea here, that the fourth cup of wine at the Seder corresponds to the word in the Torah which refers to Matan Torah. So you've mamish brought Matan Torah and Har Sinai into the Seder mamish. So Belokachti refers to Matan Torah. The fourth cup is Matan Torah at the Seder. Now, in Perek, later in Perek Vav, the Torah lists the lineage of Shevet Levi down to Moshe and Aaron. Oh. And it mentions the years of Levi, 137, in Pasuk Tes Zayin. Why? So Rashi tells you to teach us Kama Yemei HaShibud. How long the Shibud really was? Shekol Zman Shechem Min HaShibud Tekayim Lai HaShibud. When one of the brothers was still alive, there was no Shibud. As it says, Ve'yamas Yosef Ve'chol Echav, and all of his brothers. And then Ve'yakam El Echadosh. And Levi lived the longest. So the Torah tells us how long Levi lived in order to teach us how long the actual slavery was. So the Mefarshim point out that if you work out the numbers, the original Nebuah was 400 years. We were in Mitzrayim 210 years. And Levi was alive for over 90 years in Mitzrayim. 93 or 94 years. So it comes out that the actual years of the enslavement was around 116 years in Mitzrayim. That's what comes out when you work out the numbers based on this Rashi. Next, in the next few psukim, the Torah lists the Kehos and Amram down to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah gives the years of Kehos, 130, and the years of Amram, 137. Why? Why is that important to know? So Rashi gives one shot, that it's to teach you that the 400 years when the Nevuah of being 400 years in Golus includes more than the years they were actually in Mitzrayim. Rashi says, "Lemedim amoshav bnei Yisrael arba meoshana shelo b'Eretz Mitzrayim levada hayu." It wasn't only in Eretz Mitzrayim. Rather, the 400 years started from when Yitzchak was born, and it works out Yitzchak was born, and then 60 years later Yaakov was born, and then Yaakov was 130 when he came to Mitzrayim. So it comes out 210 years being in Mitzrayim. And Rashi explains that if you add up the years, you just don't get up to 400. If you add up all of Kehos, 137. Sorry, Kehos was 133 of Kehos. And the 137 of Amram. And the 80 of Moshe, you don't get up to 400. And that doesn't give that, and that doesn't even count the overlap. So Rashi's pointing out that the Torah is teaching us here that it can't be that the 400 years were all in Mitzrayim. So where were they? So then Chazal tell us they started from the birth of Yitzchak when things weren't as settled as in the time of Avram, that was considered the beginning of the Golus, in a sense, that Yitzchak's life wasn't as settled. Well, the Sforno gives a different shot. The Sforno says the Torah wants to teach us that Levi lived a long life, and Kehas lived a long life, and Amram as well. Why? Because this is an idea of chinuch. You know, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam all came from the same family, the three leaders of Am Yisrael. So, you know, what did their parents do right that they were zocha to have Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam? So the Sforno says part of the answer is that they received the chinuch not only of their parents, but of their grandparents, and the influence of their great-grandparents as well. The Torah tells us that Kehas lived a long life. Why? That Kehas was old enough to also be involved in raising Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. They were influenced by their grandfather. And the Torah tells us that Levi lived a long life. Why? That Levi was old enough to influence Amram. So when Amram was raising his children, Amram was influenced by his father Kehas and his grandfather Levi. Rav Wilk Shlita always quotes this Sforno, that we see that the best type of chinuch is not just from your parents, but also if you're zocha, from your grandparents as well. Oh, so why does the Torah then teach us the years of Amram? And of course Amram raised his own kids. So the Sforno says to explain the greatness of Aaron's kids, that Aaron's children and his grandson Pinchas were a great tzaddikim, because they were zocha to have the influence of Amram as well. And that's why the Torah emphasizes Amram lived a long life. Rav Will quotes this Sforno and then says Musar. He says you have to lead a healthy lifestyle, eat properly, get exercise. You want to be there for your grandchildren, not just for the nachas, but to help raise them, to help influence them. It's a very good musar about eating right and exercising. Okay. Pasuk Kaf. Amram married his aunt, Yocheved Dodoso, his aunt. So that's interesting. It's usher to marry your aunt. So at the time, it wasn't usher because they had not received the Torah yet. So it's very interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu's parents were married in a way that later would become usher. So some of the Sfarim explain that the idea is that often the Geula, the redemption, the Savior, comes in unexpected ways. Chazal say that Hashem, in a sense, wants to fool the Satan, that he shouldn't be Mekatreg. So Hashem brings the Geula in a roundabout way sometimes. So it would be unexpected that the Savior of Am Yisrael and Mitzrayim would come from a marriage that later would be usher. That's a little strange. We find other examples of this as well. Rus, the great-great-great-grandmother of Mashiach, was a Gioris from Moab, a nation that at least the men were prohibited. And David's side, and on Boaz's side, he goes back to Lot and his daughters, which also wasn't the purest union by any means. There are many, many examples where the ultimate Geula, the ultimate Mashiach, comes in unexpected ways. A good place to look is the Art Scroll's introduction to Megillas Rus. Develops this idea very clearly with many examples. And this example, that Moshe's parents were married in a way that would become usher later, fits in very well to that list in the Art Scroll's introduction to Megillas Rus. Okay. Next, the Pasuk Kaf Vav. The Torah says, "Who Aaron and Moshe?" This is Aaron and Moshe. Rashi points out elsewhere, it puts Moshe first. the Kav Zayin. So why the switch? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Lomar, Sheshkulin Kiyachad, that they were of equal significance.
Now, of course, there's a question here. They weren't equal. Moshe was greater than Aaron. Moshe was the greatest person who ever lived. Moshe achieved a higher level of ruchnius than Aaron did. The Chazal and the Rambam explained that Moshe's nevuah was different than all the other Nevi'im. Moshe was able to talk to Hashem without losing control of his faculties, without being in a dream. On Har Sinai, Moshe became niskadesh kimalach, almost like a malach. Moshe didn't eat 4 days and 40 nights. It's a much higher level than Aaron reached. So what does Rashi mean? So this question is discussed by the Mefarshim. So one approach is that of course Moshe was greater. But Chazal mean that for this job of leaving Mitzrayim, they both had crucially important roles, and therefore, since they both played necessary roles, they were considered equal for this job. Not equal in general, equal for this job of leaving, taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Moshe is the one who heard from Hashem, and Moshe did some of the Makos and spoke to Hashem. Aaron spoke to Paru, he did some of the Makos.
But Rav Moshe Feinstein develops another approach as well. He says it's possible to say they were equal. How so? Each one reached his own full potential. Somehow the way Moshe's life developed and the internal abilities he was given, he had greater potential than Aaron. So even though Moshe reached objectively a higher level, but he and Aaron are considered equal, that they each reach their own full potential. This is a major yesod, that in Yahadus you're judged by the efforts more than by the results. You put the effort in for Avodas Hashem, that's where your real value in the eyes of Hashem comes from. And that might be the pshat that Moshe and Aaron were shkulin. They were considered equal. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tezvav. Moshe comes to warn Paro about the Makos. And it says, Hu yotze hamayma. Paro was on his way out to the water. Why did he go to the water? Linakava, to relieve himself. Shayose atzma eloha. Paro made himself like he was a god. Yomer ain't a tzarech. He doesn't need to use the bathroom. So what would he do? Umashkim v'yotze l'nivus. V'yose sham tzracha. He'd go to the Nile River and relieve himself in the river. Oh. So that's how Rashi paints the picture. The Ramban says the opposite. The Ramban says that Paro would go out to the river with his entourage to swim. You know, when a king goes, a president goes swimming, there are people with him. He's got bodyguards, people are with him. So Moshe wanted to warn Paro, like in a public way, in your face. When you're acting like a king and taking a pleasure swim in an honorable way, that's when I'm going to warn you about the Makos. Very interesting. That Rashi and the Ramban sort of paint a different picture of what was happening out on the river. Rashi's pshat was that it was private, quiet. He was almost hiding there. And the Ramban's pshat is the opposite. Moshe went to warn him there in order, in a sense, to be in your face, to show, I'm not afraid of it, I'm going to warn you, Dafka, in a public way, to warn Paro of the upcoming Makos. Pasuk Yutes, Emor el Aaron. So some of the Makos, Dam, Tzfardeya, Aaron did. Why? Because Moshe, Lufisha Hagen Hayor al Moshe, Kisha Nishrach Lesoko, Lufichach Lo Waka al Yado, Lo Bedam Lo Bitzfardim, Waka de Aaron. The Yor had protected Moshe when he was thrown into the river. So Moshe, in a sense, owed, in a sense, Hakaras HaTov to the river. And it wouldn't have been proper for him to do the Maka of Dam and Tzfardeya. Similarly, by Kinim, Rashi says the same thing, that Aaron did the Malka of Kinim. This is in Perikles Pasuk Yud Beis. Lo haya afar kedai wilkos aide Moshe. And that's why Aaron is the one who hit the ground to produce the Kinim. Because the ground protected Moshe when he killed the Mitzri and he hit him in the sand. So we see here an interesting idea. Hakoros hatov to inanimate objects. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, that you have to have a kara, you have to thank Hashem for everything. So part of our kara hatov is even to the water and the dirt, they didn't do anything. But if they helped you, you have to have a kara hatov. Now, of course, the ground doesn't care, the water doesn't care. It's a message for a person. You have to learn the message of a kara hatov in order to have a kara hatov to people, and of course, ultimately, a kara hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Everything He gives us. So Moshe Rabbeinu not hitting the water or hitting the ground was a way of reminding Moshe of proper kara hatov for everything in life, everything that Hashem gives us. Very powerful idea. We find something similar when we say Kiddush. We find something similar by the laws of Kiddush. When you say Kiddush on Shabbos, you're supposed to cover the challahs. Why is that? So different reasons are given. So one reason is that the challah is embarrassed. How is it embarrassed? Well, because Hamotzi normally is a more important bracha than Hagofen. So the bracha on the challah should come first, but we make the bracha on the wine first, because Kiddush comes before Hamotzi. So the bread is in a sense embarrassed that we're putting the wine before the bread. And therefore you cover the challahs as if the challahs aren't in the room. They're not there. Okay. Now obviously the challah doesn't have feelings. The bread doesn't have feelings. So the point is that you should learn from being careful about the non-existent feelings of the challah to care about the real feelings of people at the Shabbos table. Try not to embarrass anyone or hurt anyone's feelings when you're talking and dealing at the Shabbos table. So when we these ideas of having a karas atov or caring about the busha of the bread, obviously it's to teach us a lesson. Pasuk Kafres, towards the end of Perek Zayin, V'olu b'beisecha. It says in the pasuk, Olu v'ol b'beisecha, u'v'chadar mishkavcha, u'v'beis avadecha. First, in the house of your servants. V'beisecha, v'achar kach b'beis avadecha. Hu hischil be'etza tchila, mimenu hischil ha'paranios. Paro initiated the plan, and then therefore the punishment begins with him. This is a big yesod, mida keneged mida. Hashem's punishment is exact. Everything's exact, exact. Even the order of where the frogs were everywhere. They were everywhere. But even the order of where they went first also was planned out to have an exact mida keneged mida. And finally, towards the end of the parsha, Paro pleads to Moshe to daven to get rid of the barud. And Moshe says, okay. And Moshe says, Bitseisi, Kitseisi es ha'ir efros es kapaya l'Hashem. When I leave the city. What do you mean, leave the city? So Rashi explains, Avavatochi er lo ispalel, fishaisem malea gilulim, was full of avodah zara, full of idol. Moshe didn't want to daven in the city full of idols, so he davened, he said he'll daven outside the city.
Now, the question is obvious. Moshe davened the other times right away. In Perikles Pasuk Ches, to get rid of the Tzvardim, and regarding the Arov, in Pasuk Kafei and Kavav, there, it sounds like Moshe davened right away in the city. Doesn't say Kitesi Minayir. So the Art Scroll quotes that one of the Achronim explains the following idea. The main god of the Egyptians was the sheep. Oh. Now normally, most sheep are out in the meadows. They're grazing outside the city. So therefore, on a normal day, the city itself wasn't full of sheep. You know, the shepherds keep the flocks outside the city grazing. However, by the Barad, Moshe had warned them that the Barad's going to attack everything that's Basodeh. Whatever is Basodeh will be wiped out. Oh, so it makes sense that a lot of the Mitzrayim, they had learned a lesson. They knew that whatever Moshe said, whatever he predicts happens. And it's therefore likely that they brought them in from the Sada. And they were hanging out around their homes somewhere. They weren't out in the fields. So here by the Barat, suddenly, oh, there's a lot of Avodah Zarah in the city. And that's why Moshe couldn't daven in the city. Okay, we'll stop here.